ISIS Audiobooks presents an unabridged recording of The Dark Side of the Sun, written by Terry Pratchett, read by Stephen Briggs. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. Only Predict. Charles Subluna from The Lights in the Sky Are Photo Floods. In the false dawn, a warm wind blew out of the east, shaking the dry reed cases. The marsh mist broke into ribbons and curled away. Small night creatures burrowed hastily into the slime. In the distance, hidden by the baroque mist curls, a nightbird screeched in the floating reed beds. In one of the big lakes near the open sea, three delicate white wind shells hoisted their papery sails and tacked slowly towards the incoming surf. Dom waited just beyond the breakers, 2 metres below the dancing surface, a thin stream of bubbles rising from his gill pack. He heard the shells long before he saw them. They sounded like skates on distant ice. He grinned to himself. There would only be one chance. Some of those pretty trailing tendrils were lethal. There might never be another chance, ever. He tensed and knifed upwards. The shell bucked violently as he grabbed the blunt prow, and he swung his legs hard over to avoid hitting the dangling green fronds. The world dissolved into a salt-tasting, cold white bubble of foam. Small silver fish slipped desperately past him, and then he was lying across the upper hull. The shell had gone berserk, flailing with the bony mast in great slow sweeps. Dom watched it, getting his breath back, and then half leapt, half scrambled to the big white bulge near the base of the mast. A shadow passed over him, and he rolled to one side as the mast nicked a furrow in the hull. As it passed, he followed it, grabbed at the nerve knot, and pulled himself forward. His fingers sought for the right spot. He found it. The shell stopped its frenzied rush through the wavetops, hitting the water again with a slap that jarred Dom's teeth. The sail wavered uncertainly. Dom continued stroking until the creature was soothed, and then stood up. It didn't count unless you stood up. The best Dagon fishers could ride a shell with their toes. How he had envied them, and how carefully he had watched from the family barge on feast days, when the fishermen came in 200 or 300 abreast on their half-tame shells with sea-why setting, a bright purple star, into the sea. Some of the younger men danced on their shells, spinning and leaping and juggling torches, and all the time keeping the shell under perfect control. Kneeling in front of the nerve knot, he guided the big semi-vegetable back through the twisting waterways of the marsh, through acres of sea lilies, and past floating reed islands. On several of them, blue flamingos hissed at him and stalked imperiously away. Occasionally, he glanced up and northwards, searching for telltale specks in the air. Corridor would find him eventually, but Dom was pretty certain that he wouldn't pick him up straight away. He'd probably keep him under benevolent observation for a few hours because, after all, Corridor had been young once. Even Corridor. Whereas Grandmother gave the impression that she had been born aged 80. Besides, Corridor would bear in mind that tomorrow Dom would be chairman and legally his boss. Dom doubted if that would influence him one jot. Old Corridor relished duty if it came sternly. He smiled proudly as the shell cut smoothly through the quiet water. At least the fisherman would not be able to call him a black hand, even if he wasn't quite a fully fledged green hand. That last initiation of the Dagon fisherman could only be got out in the deeps on a moonlit night when the Dagons rose out of the deep with their razor-sharp shells agape. The shell bumped against the reed bed, and Dom leapt lightly ashore, leaving it drifting in the little lagoon. Joker's Tower, which had been dominating the western sky, loomed up before him. He hurried forward. CY had risen and bathed the slim pyramid in pink light. The mist had left the reed beds round the base, but the apex, 5 miles above the sea, was lost in perpetual cloud. Dom pushed his way through the dry reeds until he was within 0.5 metre of the smooth milk-white wall. He reached out gingerly. Hirsch Huggen had once, realising vaguely that interminable lectures on planetary economics might not be palatable fare for a boy, smiled.